Hello everyone, and welcome to today's Sunday Q&A, which I've had plenty of time to record. Oh, by the way, these aren't Christmas lights. They are lights, but they are Christmas lights, but they're going to be Christmas lights, but they're wedding lights, but because it's dark, I just turn them on. It was easier. It'd be nice to like turn them on nearer Christmas to give it that sort of winter wonderland feeling, but as it is, it's dark, so I thought I'd use them. Yes, I've been off the road 2 days, which is kind of frustrating for me. I've had a bit of a nightmare with a lorry. I have this intermittent problem, which is you put your foot on the accelerator and then nothing happens. And then it does. And then nothing happens. And you pump it and you pump it and you pump it. And then it does. Now, it could be an accelerator problem. My mate Nick, the urban tracker, thinks it's an accelerator problem. We've changed the rear wheel speed sensor because that's what came up on a fault code. It's not that. Then we checked it again and it said it could be the power pack on the gearbox. We've changed that. It's not that. It also, my mate, my fantastic mechanic, John, who I'm still waiting to plug his computer in, the problem is he's so busy, I've got to get him onto it, thinks it could be something to do with a thermostat. If anyone out there runs DEFs, and I think that the urban tracker's on the money, because that's what I think it is, but then I don't know, I'm not a mechanic. Any ideas you want to throw at us, give us a shout. In the meantime, I've had 2 days off. So I've done the video for the mega job. It's a four-parter. Strap yourselves in for that one, everybody. I've just done bits and pieces. I've done the shop. I've been running. I'm running a lot. I don't know why. It seems to be running like Forrest Gump. But there you go. So anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me? No, don't tell me what you think of me. I would not want to know that. So the introduction today, which comes at 1:50 for some reason, Martin says, he said, I casually sat down and put the telly and coffee, and guess who's on the TV? Pete the Courier on motorway, hell on the highway, top lad. Yeah, I think I'm still on. I'll be honest with you, I don't watch myself. Why would you? Apparently you're supposed to. Apparently you're supposed to watch yourself and then you can work out what you're doing wrong. Or you say, that bit's a bit boring, that bit's a bit good. I'll do some more of that bit. I've done a little bit of that, but on the whole, watching yourself back, I find a tad narcissistic. So it's a bit like, I've done it, I just don't want to see me. And no one else in my family, well, we see we got the live show. What do I want to watch you for? Fair enough, like, you know. But yeah, I think it's on Channel 5, I think about 8 o'clock on a Friday night. Yeah, please tune in if you want some more of me. And no one wants any more of me, least of all me. So, but anyway, yeah, Ian McDonald says, I'll put this one up early just in case, because otherwise people tend to switch off after a while. In fact, you probably switched off by now, in which case you probably won't hear this. He said, Ian McDonald says, I'm in the market for a Luton at the moment. He's got 20k to spend. That's a decent amount of dough. Would like to go Ford, Iveco or something else. For that kind of money, personally, I'd recommend a Sprinter. Personally, I'd recommend getting one for around about the 17-18k mark and then spending the extra money getting the curtain done, getting the points put on, or get the jigsaw van. Do a link. We did a video on the jigsaw van. But if anyone's got a Luton that's out for sale at the moment, if you want to leave a comment, I find the best way to do this is if you scroll back through my comments, you can leave comments on comments. Look up Ian McDonald, say, Ian, I've got one for sale. Here's my number. Give me a bell. That's what we do. We try to connect people, try and get it all going. David Winter. Oh, this was on to do with the stuff I did about the Yetis, which I'm using. I kind of don't keep it that warm, but I made a cup of coffee this morning because I'm off, because my lorry is off the road, sat there in front of the computer, and within 20 minutes, it's like the cup of coffee, it's like cold. I'm like, hold on a second. This isn't supposed to be like this. I've normally got one that's this big, and it stays hot for about 3 hours, certainly warm for 6. And I'm like, I'm now starting to think, do I want to get a smaller one so I can have it on the table to drink coffee out of it? I've gone wrong. I've gone down a rabbit hole. So far, I'm reaching the central core of the earth. It's absolutely shocking. And Dana Greer said, did you do a tea coffee video? I remember if you'd done. Yeah, well, I'll do a link. I'll scroll back for it. You see, I'm with Dave. Just get a coffee from a service station or a cafe. The others. And still no T-shirt. Nick, oh, mate, it's all gone. It's all gone absolutely Pete Tong. I've got some T-shirts on that. That's another thing. But if it goes back to you, let me know. I will pay you the money to get it reposted to me. It's just, it was the wedding. You know, the lights, it all went a bit crazy. And things just came and went. I did say to my friend, I said, did you send me a birthday card? Because I think it got lost in the mayhem. He said, no, I didn't send you a birthday card, which I thought was probably fair enough. No one sends cards anymore. It's the 21st century. Send him a text. No one wants it. Right, so question of the week this week is from Pierre McIntosh. And he said, would 30k be enough to get me started as a self-employed lorry driver, 18-tonne, on finance? A finance deal obtaining work via the CX and Amazon for the upkeep of the lorry, fuel, maintenance, and insurance based in Birmingham. I'll try and do you a dedicated one on this. But on the whole, I'd say yes. But once again, there's a lot more to it. But I'm working out, so we're going to do a video on that. I've got a couple lined up, but I'll try and get it out as soon as I can. I might have to bump some of them back again because yours is a bit more urgent. But yeah, we'll try and do your video on that one. So the main video this week was on factoring companies, which in fairness is exactly what Pierre's talking about. So Chris says, there are far too many people out there running for absolute peanuts. The margins are so tight in this game, and the last thing you want to be doing is to give away a percentage of your profits. It's not easy, but my advice is to get your own customers and payment on 30 days from invoice. This will make things a lot easier as nobody's taking your cut. Now, that links back to the last video. The thing is, Chris, that's lovely. Sometimes, however, getting your own customers, they tend to want it on the cheap because they're mates rates. I have got my own customers. Unfortunately, he pays very quickly. He pays on receipt of invoice, or my main one does. I think the truth lies somewhere in between. It's sort of a bit of your own customers, a bit of kind of exchange customers, and a bit of your own customers that maybe don't pay quite so quick. Or what I've got, what I class as exchange customers, but are also regular customers. So they're people like local shippers that I've discovered through the exchange. But like I said, Pierre, we'll try and get all that one into one video for you, which is, again, it's what I'm learning. I'm always learning. I've been here for 7 years. I'm still massive hill to climb, still trying to figure it all out. So we'll get onto that one for you. Hong Kong Fui says, I should use a factoring company for 45 days end of the month jobs, which is a good chunk of those who will never pay on time. You're absolutely right, and this is the other thing that's kind of frustrating, is the fact it's I always kind of thought with invoices a due date should have been pay it by, but what it seems to be is the due date is when the, for some people, when this date pings up, that's when I've got to start thinking about paying it. No, you've had two and a half months to pay for the job that I did. It's not a matter of getting to two and a half months and then thinking, oh, I better pay that. It's no, it's like a speed limit. It's not a target. It's an absolute maximum. Pay by then. But it's not in the world. In the world we live in, that's just not the way it works. So there we go. But pay on time. He says, you chase them to say it will be on the next payment and it should have been on the previous one. I keep getting bombarded with smart pay pop-ups. Call me sceptical, but there's got to be a catch. There's no catch. As far as I can work out, smart pay is very straightforward. It pings up with a thing. It says, this is how much the invoice is worth. Say the invoice is worth 150 quid and they're going to pay you in 2 months. They say, do you want it now for £125? Just think of it as a payday loan. That's all it is. We'll give you the money now, and when we get paid, we take a pony. You say yes or no. And if you say no, that's fine. You get all of your money in 2 months' time. If you say yes, you get, what's that, 5/6 of your money within, at the moment, it's within an hour. Otherwise, it's within 5 working days, and that's like, you know, it's more like 6 because they pay at 7:30 in the evening, so it's more like 6. You've lost a big day on that one. But you say yes or no. And the good thing about it is there's no signing up with factoring companies. There's no sort of filling in forms. There's no monthly fees. There's no hidden charges, which is something we're going to come to as I'm learning with my new crusade. You say yes or no. And you might just think, well, I've been strapped for the moment. I'll take that one. But the next 5 I'm going to do straight and I'm going to get them in 30 months' time, in 30 days' time, because I'm building this, which is what I'm trying to do. Which would really help if I hadn't been off the road for the last 2 days. Although, in fairness, it could have been worse. It could have happened 2 months ago. At least I am starting to see the dough from the work I did 2 months ago come in. So this is a problem I'm going to have to deal with in 2 months' time. But I've got 2 months' time. I can put my head down. I can go to work. I can go to war. I can find the time. I can make up. Jazz Deep Chanel says, Pete, what percentage does the C... Hang on, they've got a video on this as well. What percentage does the CX charge for factoring companies compare with your current factoring company, eCapital? I'll do you a video, my friend. Like I said, I don't know what's going to come out because we're banked up a little bit. And it's going to just be what I know at this point. So it's going to be kind of a rudimentary video. And I will work out more as time goes by. I'm starting to speak to the accountant who said, you know, the factoring company said 3%. But when you drill into it, it's not 3%. It's more like 10%, 11%. And I think the exchange is more like 5 or 6. So given the choice, you'd pick the exchange. The problem is the exchange aren't going to factor every invoice. They're only factoring certain ones. So it's not a bit like, oh, I've done that job, I'll get the money. Nope, you have to wait. Oh, I've done that job, I'll get the money. Nope, you're going to have to wait. And until they get to the stage where all the invoices, where everybody's going, yeah, giving a job. I had a firm ring me up when I started, before all this happened. And they kind of went, well, you know, your job's worth £400 or you can have £300 by tomorrow. And I'm like, I've just started, I'll take £300. Now, if you're a big enough firm and you can go, I'm getting a load of jobs really cheap because in fairness, and it's not good. You're playing on people's desperation a little bit, but they want it now. And no one's holding a gun to your head. You say yes or no. So, anyhow, lots to be done on this. I'm drilling into it myself. I'm still trying to work my way through it. So that was the one on factoring companies. We've also started the marathon that is the mega job. And when Ian gave me the job, thanks, mate. Do appreciate it. It really helped, actually. He said, you know, do a video on this. I said, a video? Mate, this is a season. But that, in fairness, was the mega, mega job. I ended up with the mega job. But it was still worth four. It's still quite a lot to it. So Mark Smith said, no high-vis, schoolboy error right there. Right, there's a video on that one. When you should you wear your high-vis and when you shouldn't. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm a little bit lazy because, you know, a lot of people just put it on in the morning and drive around with it. Why do you want to? You could be in the tag cab for 2 hours. You're driving around in a plastic bag. What's the matter with you? Take the bag off. You don't need to be driving around in a plastic bag. Put the bag on when you get out of the cab, if you need to. But you've got to read the signs. You know, the covert behind the scenes. Do I need to put my high-vis on? I'm on an HS2 site. I also need to put on my glasses, my hat, and a pair of orange trousers. We'll go into that one. And David Winter says, not quite like this. He says, a great video, nicely edited. I would gladly sell my house and all of its contents just to buy a subscription to your channel. Well, you know, I think the subscription to the channel is obviously free, but I mean, I personally would rather pay £400 a year just to watch this channel. And if you don't know what we're talking about, Google Points of View, not the 9 o'clock news. Very funny. The wise guys. This week's wise guys. Godzilla. Right now. Accident insurance. So do you have to? We had a question that said, if you have a crash, if you have an accident in your lorry, do you have to tell your car insurance and vice versa? And I said, well, yes, I think you do. He said, right, the following may or may not be rubbish and a figment of my warped imagination, but car is a private policy, truck is a business. So when a forklift decides to stamp a hole in the side of my Sprinter and I put a claim in and kept my gob shut when I refresh my car insurance. The reason being, I once had a Harley that went walk one afternoon. Claimed on the insurance. When it came to taking out my new car policy, I asked the broker if it would make any difference, and they said it's a different type of policy, so no. So what you're saying is the bike got nicked. This is a car policy. They're different. So I've stuck with that. I see it as private and business policies are two different things. It's entirely up to the individual, though, in case it goes wrong. Right, okay, well if anyone else has got any information on it, I should speak to my son-in-law about this, actually. Speak to Dave. He works in insurance. I do know one thing, which is when I was on the markets and one of my earworm Nige had a bit of an accident in the Sprinter and it all went a bit wrong. I ended up speaking to the broker about it. And he said, if you lie on the insurance form, if you say you've had no accidents and we know you've had an accident, he won't say nothing. We'll just keep taking your money. And then when you come to claim, if you've had an accident, we'll go, ah, we're not paying out because you lied on your insurance form. But thanks for all the free money. You're not, you won't be covered at all. They'll just keep taking it. So anyone knows any more about this, I'll speak to son-in-law Dave, who's the insurance guy. Any comments? We'll pick up on them next week. And in the meantime, I held back on this because my mate Nick, who I speak to on a pretty much daily basis now, still haven't signed accelerator pedals. I spoke to John earlier. It's in the lap of the gods whether he'll get back to me or not. I reckon it's tomorrow now. It's just dragging on. I want to get back on the road. I need to get back on the road. Right, this is to do with the guy who said about he was thinking about getting a grabber lorry and running on the CX. He says, hi, Pete. To the guy who's thinking about getting a grabber lorry or high-ab tipper, as he put it, he's wasting his money paying for the AH with this kind of vehicle. He would be better off going around his local area, knocking on doors of waste and aggregate companies that might be looking for subcontractors. So target to get the yellow pages out. I'm old. Or Google, so, you know, sort of aggregate companies in the local area and go around all of them and go, I've got a lorry with a high-up. I've got a lorry with a high-up. If you're short, if you break down one day, if you need, if you've got a load of delivery and you want short, give me a ring. That's what he's saying. There seems to be a lot of work around that area for those types of vehicle, but it's a very cutthroat industry. Also, be very careful buying any vehicle with a crane on it because they can be very expensive to repair and maintain. I know people who are experienced that have had their fingers burnt buying high-end vehicles. I would only go into this type of work if you have experience and you know what you're doing. There used to be a website called Bulk Haulage Exchange. So it's Haulage Exchange with bulk in front. Wonder where they got that idea from. And it used to be about £100 a year to join. Don't know if it's still going or not. Nick, thanks for the comment. I held out for it. I hope your man gets a message. Hope it helps him out. Which leads us naturally on to his next comment, because now we're in trucks. Nick says, and he knows, that wasn't a laugh, I just coughed. One of the hardest types of trailers to reverse is an A-frame drawbar. This is, there definitely needs to be some getting used to. An 8x4 with a long wheelbase has got one of the worst of the manoeuvring at tight spaces. Just remember, Arctics have an overhang at both the front and the rear, especially if you have a trailer with a deep pin. I have absolutely no idea what that means, although one day maybe if I ever do my Class 1, I will. I'm still tempted, just because I want to. But I also want to learn to drive a submarine, and I'm probably never going to need to use it, so maybe don't waste your dough and stick to what you're okay at. And finally on the trucks, Ryan Wuba says, Class 1 is easy to drive, not as much swing as a 26 ton with a rear steer or a rear side axle. Used to drive bin lorries and you had to be so careful in the little housing states. It's that rear swing, isn't it? Bell station says, highest truck to drive 26 ton. I still don't believe it. I've driven a 26 ton. And I've driven my 18-ton, which has got a wheelbase on it the size of a 26-ton. So, in fairness, my truck drives worse than Mix, which is the one I used to drive when I used to work for Transport It, the 26-ton, the Merc. That was easier to drive than mine. You could turn it around a little bit quicker. But, well, at least it worked. Mine don't even work at the moment. But I still think it should be. But anyway, that's it. We're going to have to draw a line under that. So, still reckon there's going to be some kind of crazy truck out there, electrical number, I don't know. So, which leads us on to miscellaneous. The nefarious Steve Campbell. You've got to do your own channel, mate. The people are crying out for it. Says, I don't believe that wheel nut indicators are a legal requirement. I don't think they are either. But if I get a tug by Voza and they go, how did you check your wheel nuts? I can go, I look at the indicators. Whereas if I haven't got them on, I can go, I crank them every morning with a torque bar. What, show us a torque bar. It's back at the yard. We don't believe you because you're lying. So, or I hit them with a hammer. Or what my mate Will used to say is, so I check for rust lines. If the nut's loose, you'll see a little bit of water with a rust line on it. But this is going back 20 years. I don't think you get away with that now. Whereas if you've got the wheel nut indicators, bosh, I can tell. A wheel nut's lost. I can tell it's loose. Loose. It's green. So therefore it needs change. Needs tightening. Godzilla says, he's also on the nut monitors thing. He says, at the airport there are companies, because this is to do with crack wheels. I think this is a problem when you're driving really heavy vehicles, particularly ones that carry like liquid. He says, at the airport there are companies who run DAFs and MANs, MANSIs, MANs, whatever. He said, it is plus some of the oddities and the Congress or something like that, something American. He said around 4 to 6 weeks, a truck will suffer cracks in the wheel. You see what I mean? It's got to be something to do with the weight and the water. Or the liquid or whatever it is. It's fuel, isn't it? It's airplane fuel, he does. I've never seen it on the road. I've never seen it on road going trucks. And it's one of those ignore rules HGV drivers live by. But in our little world, it really happens. So what he's saying is we never, ever get loose wheel nuts. But in his world, wheel nuts and cracks are a big time Charlie, like, you know. He said, ironically, they can't buy new wheels as the suppliers can't offer a guarantee due to the weight involved. So tyre broke sources, they tend to buy second-hand wheels. I know a guy. Give me a shout. Might be able to help you out on that score. Oddly, we don't have, he said, we don't have ours cracked, but our company only runs Scania's. So what I think he's saying there is if you're driving around with aeroplane fuel on that's really heavy and has that sort of liquidity, sort of slidey stuff, you want to buy Scania's. But not the new Scania's, the old Scania's, because the new Scania's aren't as good, possibly, because that's just what I hear, because I know nothing. And that's the end of today's Sunday Q&A. I've got far too much time on my hands, so I'm just going to go and edit this and put this one up with all that you've got the Life on the Road videos. We're cranking all the way out to Christmas now. I think I'm done till about the middle of December. So, but all those videos that need to be done, I will try to get them out. And I just hope and I pray that I'll get the phone call from John, who can meet me at the yard tonight at whatever time. I said I'll meet you at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I started, he didn't finish till 10 o'clock last night. And he starts at 6. I said, I'll meet you before 6. I'll meet you 5, 4, whatever. He said, mate, I start at 6. I finish at 10. I don't want to have done on my day. And I'm in the lap of the gods. I've got to get this guy out. So just hope that we can get him out and we can diagnose the throttle body problem, the lack of sort of. The thing is, it could. Yeah, I'm an idiot. I think when I put my foot on the accelerator pedal, therefore it must be the pedal. And they go, it might not be the pedal. It might be a heat sensor in the thermostat. It might be a sensor over the wheel. These are computer tracks now. I just want to get back on the road. I want to get back to taking care and taking money.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.